It's 9:30. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really well. You're not wearing an apron.
You know what? It's in my car. I'm so embarrassed. I got a new apron. It was from, do you know King Arthur Flower was at the Maritime Museum?
No. I did not know.
Yes. So they have this, would you call it an initiative? They're doing this thing across the country where they are teaching fourth graders how to bake whole wheat bread.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so what they do is they just come into a space that's large where they can gather, in our case here, 400 fourth graders, and then they teach them how to bake bread, and then King Arthur sends them home with a little bag that has a sack of whole wheat flour, a sack of all-purpose flour, a dough scraper, some yeast, a bag, all kinds of stuff, a recipe, and then they are tasked with baking two loaves of bread. They have to bake one for themselves to eat, and then one for the food shelf, the food bank, and so they've been doing this across the country now for 10 years, and in 10 years, and the bag goes home free with the kids. For 10 years, they have taught 400,000 fourth graders to bake bread in America. Isn't that something?
That's really something. And so were you helping?
Well, they had this thing in the evening where they just showed adults what they were doing with the kids. And I was there. And so she wanted to volunteer from the audience, and nobody, of course, said anything. But then she said, there's a free apron in it for you. And anybody that knows me knows that I'll do anything for an apron. So my hand shot up in the air. And in case she didn't see it, I hollered really loud, pick me. So I have a new apron, but I left it in the car. Oh.
Well, we'll try not to spill anything on you during this show. But I love that story. What have you been cooking lately?
Well, crap, but stupid stuff. But I had a pretty interesting experience. I went over to a friend's house, Christine Trexel, and she made something that was so interesting. And maybe everybody else in the world has it every day, and I don't know it. But for dinner, her first course was a salad, just a frise salad with a vinaigrette. But she put a roasted garlic flan on top of it.
Oh.
Have you had that?
I have, and that
I never have, and it was so good.
Yeah.
And she has this thing that I'm always so envious of. She has finesse. Just like Andy at Street 14, Andy Catalano, I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but just that finesse. I mean, it was the exact perfect amount of garlic. It was tasty, but very super well balanced. It was so good. Anyway, and she had pork with romesco sauce, so of course I thought of you.
Ooh,
that's your favorite.
Of romesco sauce. I'm off to Spain in the fall. I will report back on romesco sauce because, you know, everybody has their own recipe. So I'm pretty excited about romesco. There is my romesco recipe on the website at northcoastfoodweb.org if you're interested in romesco out there. But
I thought of you, of course, when she served it.
So good.
Yeah.
I think that savory flans are not something that we normally, find on our plate around
Mm-mm.
here. So, hooray, Christine.
No, it was so good. Oh. So, I really haven't been cooking. I've been baking. Just because there's a bake sale that I'm helping with that's coming up for the Sou'wester Garden Club down in Seaside. They're a really good group. And so, that's been interesting. So, when I help with bake sales, you know, often people that volunteer for different organizations will help me. So, I meet a lot of really good people that way, and I've made some really good friends that way. It's just, you know, it's hard to make friends as an adult, harder than when you're a kid, when you can just walk up to somebody and say, "Wanna be friends?" And they say yes or no.
Yes.
But, I think, well, okay, so there was one lady that came to the house, and she was really nice. She was pretty introverted, but you know how like we think so much about like romantic relationships. Oh, we dissect them, we you know talk them to death. But there's all kinds of other relationships in our lives, and friendship is one of them. You know, it matters, the first impression and stuff like that. So I'd never met her before. She's in my kitchen, and we're talking. We're trying to figure out who each other is, and the dogs are outside, and I have one really old dog, Sputnik, and then two that are a year old. Sputnik's 16, and so they went in, and I said, you know, do you hate dogs or something like that? And she's like, oh, no, I have a dog of my own. I'm like, is it okay if I let him in? Oh, sure. So I let them in, and they've been outside, right? So they've been outside, and she's sitting at the kitchen table. And Sputnik is so excited to see her, and she smells just right, just like her dog, you know. And so he poops a circle around her chair. Oh, my God. And it turns out that even, like, in friendship, you know, like new budding friendships, all the things that can happen, you know, first impressions and everything, all that doesn't matter because there's deal breakers. Yeah. And one of them is circles of poop around your chair. I was mortified. I don't remember ever being more mortified.
Oh. Do you think you'll ever see her again?
Oh, no, no. It's strictly email now.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and then that right there sums up my week of cooking. How about you? Oh. What have you been cooking?
Well, let me think. Yesterday was sandwich day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody out there on the other end of the radio ever has sandwich day. It's sort of like pajama day, you know, where you just kind of take the day off. And so I made a pretty nice, actually, scramble and put it on whole wheat toast. Makes me think of those kids baking whole wheat bread.
Yeah.
for my fabulous husband for breakfast. That was breakfast. Okay. And a smoothie. And then we don't do lunch usually unless we're out somewhere because we're in opposite ends of the universe during the day. And then at night I was on the radio yesterday, didn't get home until about 6, and thought to myself, and the sun was out.
I know.
So when I
It's paralyzing, isn't it? I cannot cook. I can do nothing. I must just stand here.
I ran outside and pulled weeds for an hour because I'm so, you know, please let me do that without getting drenched. And then I came in and I didn't feel like cooking. So we had BLTs, but I'll tell you that there are fabulous heirloom tomatoes out there right now.
Really?
And those, yeah, from the sunny south of the border.
Okay.
Organic heirloom tomatoes in all the stores.
Okay.
And they're fabulous. Yeah, nothing, on a BLT.
Nothing better than a tomato.
No. Really good pepper bacon and an heirloom tomato and some crispy lettuce. You got yourself, you know, some happiness right there. So
I don't think sandwich day sounds bad.
It's kind of lazy. I will say, though, that you and I have had occasion to cook together in the last couple of weeks, and we made a lot of food.
See, now that is what I was. See, I love when you cook and bake with other people. It's just fun to have something to do besides go shopping or go to lunch, you know, sit there and really not do anything productive. It's so fun. And that's what I was hoping, like, with the baking thing, but no, the dog. Anyway, yeah, we just got together with a bunch of friends, and it was really fun. One of the things we made was a roasted Brussels sprout and pancetta thing that we mixed with pasta. And I brought some home, and I mixed it with cauliflower soup, and it was so good.
Oh, it would be good.
Yeah.
And that was really simple. Put everything on a sheet pan and roast it in the oven, and it was really delicious.
And then you tossed pomegranate seeds in afterwards, which I never would have thought of, and that was delicious.
And toasted pine nuts.
Yep. Really, really good.
Yeah.
What are pine nuts
it's
now?
It's all about the garnish.
Yeah, yeah. What are pine nuts now? About $400 an ounce? What are they?
I think so. I had some lurking in the back of the region at the North Coast Food Web, and I hauled them out and toasted them. But they'd probably, you know, when they're in the fridge, you can keep them forever.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
But they've shot up. I mean, they're so expensive.
I know. And I don't know, I'm sure that pine nuts, what I don't know about the provenance of them, it would fill volumes, but I'm sure we can't just go pick up any old pine cone off the street.
I'm gonna go get my own.
Yeah, right. And actually, I've never seen a pine cone with nuts in them, because I assume that if we have that kind of pine cone around here, the animals get it before we do.
Well, and there's so many things I don't know. I remember I was so shocked to learn where cashews come from. You know, there's that fruit pepper looking thing, and then it's just this little like. You know, tumor looking thing on the top of it, and it's such a bio waste. I mean, I had no idea. So
It's not a waste if you're in Brazil. The fruit part of that, the nut is hanging there on the bottom.
Yeah,
the fruit part is you have that like juice in the morning.
Oh,
like
really?
Fresh squeezed juice in the morning with breakfast, cashew juice.
Well, I think
and
I was
it has
in,
nothing to do with the nut.
It's I'm trying to remember where I was. I think Colombia, and they said it was an edible. So I just assumed that I didn't know. Okay.
Well, I was served that juice that seemed quite lovely to me.
Okay, no, yeah, and you lived.
It also,
yay!
It had that fuzzy sort of taste, like peach fuzz does. Anyway, it was good.
Now I'm intrigued.
Well, I'm wondering if there aren't many kinds of cashews, probably.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'm guessing that there are. I mean, just like there are lots of kinds of walnuts and other kinds of nuts. Anyway.
Who always brings us really cool stuff from other countries? Norma Hernandez. We're going to have her get us some.
Cashew
I know
juice.
She could find it, yeah.
Yeah, she can. We need to take up a collection and send her home for a week with an empty suitcase.
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to remember what else we cooked together, but we made
pizza.
Yeah, pizza dough and pizza sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And
that turned out good.
Yeah, that is a very cool thing to do at home when you have a minute and then have a lazy dinner like sandwich day.
Yep.
Only pizza day, because you can freeze pizza dough. You can refrigerate it for a long time.
Now, how often do you freeze it? Because I don't have luck doing that.
Well,
I don't know why.
I don't make tons of it.
Okay.
So I'm not interested in, I don't have anything left to freeze.
Yeah.
I might make twice as much as I need, stick it in the fridge, and at the end of the week, use it again.
Yeah.
But my recipe says that it can be frozen.
It always says that, but it just never comes back to life for me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, maybe nothing. Maybe yeast just doesn't like to be treated like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't cryogenic yeast and bring it back to life. But I know that there are several yeast recipes I have that tell us we can freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just make a bunch up and put it in the, because you don't actually have to use pizza dough for pizza. I mean, you could make a calzone or whatever, but
you could
do breadsticks. Yeah, you could do a variety of things. So,
Stromboli. Brrr.
Ooh. Oh, yum. That sounds really good. Anyway, I think that having pizza dough already made in the fridge and a couple of choices of sauce is sort of the ultimate luxury for a lazy night.
And you can buy pizza dough in stores around town, already made. And it's cheap, and that's just a really easy way to slap dinner out in 20 minutes.
Yep. It's really easy. And making your own pizza dough is not difficult. It's fast.
Yeah.
It's not like making bread.
No.
It's pretty easy, and there's something about yeast dough rising that makes your whole house happy.
Yeah.
It really does.
And there's lots of places you can buy pizza, of course. But, you know, my favorite ingredient on pizza, really, I don't know if maybe only one place has it that I know of, but it's green olives. I love green olives on pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, you know, lots of other stuff. But just if there's a few green olives on there, oh, so good to me. I just love that.
Yep.
And so I do like making my pizza, because then I get that one that I can't get. I love artichoke hearts, too, marinated ones. I think they're really good on pizza. And if I have roasted vegetables in the house, which I very often do, just whatever they are, it can be sweet potato. A lot of times it's broccoli, asparagus. Just slap it on there, and that's really good, too. And then I very often have... when I grill, I will very often just slice an onion up real fat and brush a little oil on it and then grill that too, and then just stick it in the fridge and use it with other things. And when I have that grilled onion with the burnt edges that I think is so good, I'll put that on there too. And so a lot of times I can make a pretty good pizza at home. At least it's one that I really like, and that's the advantage of cooking. You get to make what you really
Yeah.
And
I love thinly sliced roasted red potatoes on pizza with onions and anchovies, or onions and capers and like sardines.
Yeah, I'm not with you on that one, but but I still love you.
Well, you know what it is? It's the green olive. It's the salt,
yeah.
And savory,
yeah.
Savory
and,
salt.
And Dale would love that. He loves sardines, and so I should make that.
We need to have Dale over for pizza.
Oh, hey. So there's a group of people that I talk to about food, and they say that if you age your sardines, if you keep them in the can, you know, in your cupboard for like 4 years, they're so much better. I wonder if you've ever heard that.
Oh, I've never let them last that long.
No. Like you have to like consciously put them away.
Yeah, I will try it.
There's a whole group of people that are really
there's a reason to live.
No.
You know what I mean? You got to make sure, you got to test the sardines. So
for a person who doesn't like sardines, it sounds so infinitely awful.
4-year-old
like, sardines.
Do you like anchovies?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so it's you got a personal thing about it.
You know what it is? It's like done my lifetime's allotment as a child. I think that's it. I got over them early or got done with them early.
Yeah, all right. Well, I do want to remind everybody who might just be tuning in or who is merely curious that you
all
are
all nine of them.
That's right, we're up to nine. Oh, we're dangerously close to double-digit fan base. You are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. So, Linda Perkins.
You know, I have a friend, Lynn, who says she'll be our 10th listener, but I think it was like a pity thing, you know, like, oh, all right, I'll get you in the double digits. So well, I don't know if it counts.
Yeah, it totally counts. Are you kidding? I'm not.
I did count that person from Sweden who was trying to find my address and stumbled onto the podcast. They're a fan for sure.
Absolutely. If it is not clear by this point to people who listen to Food Talk that we have no pride, this would be a good time to mention it in terms of accruing fans. You know what? Spring is coming, even though it's still a little damp, but yeah. I'm starting to see things in the produce section that I haven't seen for months.
So exciting.
It's very exciting.
Baby greens, all kinds of herbs.
Snappies.
And in my garden, too, that is something that I try really hard is not to kill the herbs. And it's just really nice not to have those. We struggled over the winter and we're you know, woody and decrepit and ancient. Just to have those new fresh leaves on everything, that's really nice.
It's so nice. And the herb garden at the Food Web really took a drubbing this winter. And I think that it was, I would say, my fault. Because I planted so many of the things in containers. It's an herb garden, and I planted a lot of them in containers thinking that it would be a really good way to monitor water for things that need and things that don't.
Okay.
You know. But what happens when you get feet of rain every month is that you get containers that can't. I'm pretty much starting over now. And
sorry.
I think as soon as I don't need hip boots to get in there, I'll weed and get some things planted. It's so soggy.
I know.
That's the drawback of good dirt is that it holds a lot of water.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pretty excited about brand new produce.
Yeah, and I know you said the tomatoes are here, and that's good, but tomatoes are just what I always get excited about.
Yes.
Tomatoes. Ugh.
And
then
sweet
lettuce.
Corn.
There's corn. You know, there are things that you cannot buy in the store. You cannot buy lettuce how it tastes when it's brand new.
No.
You can't buy corn when – and there's people – boy, there was this guy that I knew when I lived in Portland. He was about 150 years old, and he lived for corn. And he says that, I mean, you pick it, and it starts – what would you call that?
It turns to starch.
Yeah, you have to eat it that day or the next day, and just the how quickly you eat it really matters. What's the word? Not degenerating. I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of, but it changes. And he would wrap his corn in saran wrap in plastic wrap. Yeah, and then he would microwave it for 2 minutes. That's how he cooked it.
Oh.
That's what he
Interesting.
Did. Yeah. But he was like, we always said he went to the corn church, that was who he prayed to, because man, it was all about the corn and pretty much that's it.
Well,
you know, people get focused in old age.
Right. I'm telling you, summer melons.
Yeah.
Corn. Tomatoes.
Yeah. And cucumbers. You can't get a cucumber that tastes how it tastes when it's brand new.
No, I know.
So exciting.
I know. It's very exciting. It's a real temptation to plant the garden too early. It always is for me.
Yeah.
I have trouble waiting. I have trouble waiting about everything.
Hey, you know, a lot of people are saying that their rhubarb is getting flowers.
There's fresh rhubarb in the produce section right now.
Yeah, but if you're, there's some, I don't know why, But if your rhubarb gets flowers, take them off, because once it flowers, it won't make any more stalks.
Although it's kind of like an artichoke. If you have not seen the rhubarb actually flower, let one go.
Oh, yeah.
Because really, it's pretty spectacular.
Yay.
I always let the artichokes go at the Food Web Garden because I could have artichokes, or I mean, you know, which
would
be
flowers
enough.
From outer space.
Oh, yeah. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know what a rhubarb flower looks like when it's all done.
I let mine go 1 year by accident.
Okay.
And it was pretty otherworldly looking.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up on the interweb.
Yeah, definitely. So do you have any plans for what you might cook? I've been craving chicken with 40 cloves of garlic.
Oh, really?
I've been craving it. I think I've been really craving something braised with brandy in it. I think that's the whole thing.
Well, I got a new grill. Oh, man, is it nice.
You needed another grill.
I had a grill that I loved. And 10 listeners, gentle listeners, I melted that puppy.
Oh, no.
Enough that the husband, poor Dale, was embarrassed. I mean, I used it so much. I mean, I literally melted it. He replaced so many parts. And it was an eyesore, and it was melted. And so then I got this crappy little one, and we had a 2-year hate relationship. And I melted it too, just because I wanted it to be gone. And then I got a new grill. Oh, it's big and it's sturdy and it's so great. And it cooks so good. I made you some ribs. So sorry.
You did.
But normally ribs, I like grilled ribs. I like that grilled outside of them. But I hadn't figured out the temperature yet because I just got the grill. And so normally ribs take about an hour and a half on the grill, real low and slow. But these took 4 hours. So they didn't have any of like the grill flavor. They were just kind of like barely cooked.
It was really good, but you gave two people an entire rack of ribs. So we had half of it for one dinner. And then a couple nights later, I cut the meat off the bones and made garlic toast out of like brioche buns.
Okay.
And had that rib meat on there with the coleslaw and sliced sweet onions.
Oh, what a good idea.
And a little horseradish on the garlic toast. It was really good.
Nice.
I'm not kidding.
That is such a good way. When you're talking about sandwich day, that is such a good way to, I think, punch up a sandwich. Like, even if you're just making a cold roast beef sandwich, you know, just take the bun and butter it and grill it in a, what would you call that? Just in a pan where you cook it the side down?
Yeah. I think it's called frying.
Oh, my brain just shut off. It's the most embarrassing thing. I'm going to need to be institutionalized at any moment.
Well, it better have a kitchen wherever they put you.
No. First my socks, then my shoes. First my socks, then my shoes. Okay, I'm back. And just to fry, yeah, that's the word. Fry the bread butter and fry it until it's browned, and then just put some garlic salt on it, and that just really makes a sandwich. It takes it up another level, I think, that they don't know so much that you're not doing anything when you put it in front of them.
Yeah. It's my favorite use of garlic powder is just to add a little something to some toast. And I just do it in the, I put my toaster oven on broil.
See, I don't have a toaster oven. I should have one. My kitchen's so little.
I really like my toaster oven for so many things.
Yeah.
It beats firing up the big oven depending on what you're doing.
David Weber got a new toaster oven, and it has like a steam feature.
Yes, now, I've seen that.
Really? See, now, he says it makes the best bread. And when you have like a commercial oven and you're going to make bread that's really crusty and beautiful, they have steam injectors. And to buy a steam injector for a home oven is like, can I say how much it is? $5,000. I mean, it's so much money. And this was, you know, such a teeny tiny fraction of that, like very affordable. And I didn't even know that they existed, but he said that you can do anything in there and it makes good everything. I'd never heard of that appliance, a steam. It also is a toaster, but that it has steam that injects into it.
Yeah.
It's so advanced.
Yes. So nice.
Yeah.
Incredibly nice.
Incredible.
Well, thank you so much for the, ribs. We loved them twice.
They're so nice. You ate them twice.
Yes. That made me think when you were saying your your socks and then your
shoes.
What did you say?
Oh, no, you can't remember. You're going to be there with me.
No. One of my dad's sayings that Tom and I resurrect whenever it's appropriate is, that's the way it goes. First your money, then your clothes. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm craving a bunch of stuff. I need to get busy now. I have a little more time at home than I used to have, and so it's making me want to do stuff. I actually organized and ruthlessly culled my spices.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
It wasn't easy.
Wow.
I mean, it was physically very easy.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
Emotionally, it was really hard. But first of all, you can't keep them forever, no matter how much we think we love them. And also, if you bought an entire bottle of something that you needed a quarter of a teaspoon for, you know what I mean? So I got rid of a ton of stuff and washed the bottles and recycled some glass and kept some for future use and really, like, I have so much more counter space.
That's awesome. I have my spices in little tins that have a window on the top, and they're magnetic. And so I stick them on the side of the fridge. I have like 100. I mean, I have a lot. But that, because my kitchen is not large, then I'm not using counter space, and I'm not using cupboard space or drawer space for that. Yeah. And so it gets a large quantity of stuff. And then I have the backup stuff in the pantry. But I did kind of a culling. We had the great Indian food experiment of 2011, and those spices were aging rapidly and needed to go. We had to buy a lot of them on the internet, and they came in, you know, quart quantities.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, the majority of it. But no, I haven't done it to the extent that it sounds like you've done it.
It's a real inspiration to go to a spice store and buy what you need, as opposed to buy a bottle of something that you're not going to use or that you think you're going to love and then you don't.
Yeah.
So, and what it turns out that I really, really want on my spice rack is a variety of salts, a variety of peppers, and then a couple of other things, some curry, some cumin, some, you know, the standard ones. Mm-hmm. I don't really need exotic blends, because if you have all the basics, you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a special container of it. At least I don't. I tend to be, I guess, kind of conservative about that stuff. Mm-hmm. So on the other hand, hot sauces. My entire refrigerator door is pretty much exclusively hot sauces. I can't seem to resist them.
I know, they're so good.
Yeah, they're so good on everything.
Yeah.
They're especially good at elevating breakfast, an uninspired breakfast, I think.
Yeah, you know, Dale likes hot sauce, but hot sauce doesn't like him, so I'm always alone on that. I like ones that have a little bit of smoke flavor, too.
Oh, so
I don't know why.
Chipotle
I just
ones
do.
And that kind of thing. Yeah.
And I love brown chipotle powder.
Oh. So, you're cooking for somebody who doesn't really do spice.
I know. Moderately. But, I mean, so many of the hot sauces also have that kind of macho factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They taste really good, but you have to be able to do it. And it does. It hurts him. And so I add it after the fact. You know, it's a condiment in our house.
Uh-huh.
And that works.
I think it is a condiment anyway.
Yeah, but you know how you can mix it in while you're cooking, you know, and that would kill him, so.
We definitely don't want to do that.
Even though he makes fun of this radio show.
Yeah.
Today we are talking about raisins. You know, I had a revelation. He doesn't really make fun of the cooking show. He makes fun of me because I was out looking at birds the other day, and he's like, oh, did you see a pimple-scented queasel thrasher? I'm like, pimple-scented queasel thrasher.
You're right. He is making fun of you.
Turns out it's me, not the show.
Well, nobody's more qualified or more justified than Dale.
Oh, it's true.
Well, I am going to try to do something inspiring with a pork tenderloin, I think, soon. And that is a big challenge.
Does it involve Romesco? She asks innocently.
Well, you know, it could.
I don't know. That's what I had at Christine Trexel's house. And it was delicious. What a good combination.
Yeah. And Romesco is good with everything. It's good on roast veg. It's good on pasta.
Yeah.
It's a great sandwich spread.
Yes.
Really good. And it lasts. It's one of those things that kind of gets better over a couple of days in the fridge. You know, it's got a lot going on in it, and letting it kind of marry is a worthy endeavor. So if you have not made Romesco, it is one of the classic Spanish, I don't know, I guess it's a sauce.
Yeah.
Mine always comes out a little, you know, thicker.
Thick, yeah.
Yeah, but you can, I mean, you can
we
make
it. We could call it a saste. It's like a sauce paste, a pos.
It's fabulous. And yeah. If you want to use it for a pasta sauce, you just put in a little more olive oil and have it be a little more of a slurry. It's just really an all-purpose wonderful thing. And it's for some reason, well, it's on a ton of restaurant menus anymore. It came into vogue a few yeah. years ago, and now it's not hard to find Romesco. So, hey, it's 10 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we got to go. Thanks for joining us on Food Talk. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Linda Perkins, thank you as always.
Thank you, Marianne.